Good morning, everyone. I have a few announcements this morning. You may talk amongst yourselves if I make announcements. The designated monthly collection this week, the Social Action Committee's designated monthly collection for today is for Bread of Life, which offers a free monthly meal to community residents in need. So loose cash will be set aside for the program. Checks can be made out to LCUUC with the amount for Bread of Life noted on the memo line. This is also an allergy alert. We've had lots of people bringing in wonderful snacks and things. Peanut allergies are dangerous. Reactions can range from mild discomfort to life-threatening anaphylactic shock. So for someone who's extremely sensitive, a reaction can be triggered by peanut particles in the air. To help keep every member of our church community safer, please refrain from bringing items which contain peanuts or peanut butter for snack, coffee hour, or potluck events. And please clearly label any items containing tree nuts. Those would be walnuts, almonds, pecans, cashews, etc. So peanuts, no. You can drop those off at my house if you feel you need to make something with peanuts. Do you purchase things through Amazon.com? Would you like some of that money to go to LCUUC? Then take a trip out to our LCUUC.org website. There is a link under there through resources links, and underneath that is an Amazon icon. If you click through that to Amazon to then make your purchases, some of the purchase amount goes to us. So it's a simple way to perhaps do what you're already doing if you're buying online. So think about that. Hit our website, pass through to Amazon, and bring us some more income. Can you walk? Can you talk? Can you sing? Do you have a song running through your head constantly right now? Then Christmas Choir is looking for you. It's forming right now. It's actually already grouped together, but it's looking for more people who want to sing, if for no other time than just for Christmas. This doesn't mean you have to be part of the regular choir. The next rehearsal is at 8:25 a.m. next Sunday, 11:24, and see Karen Haskell if you would like to join, or just show up and bring your voice. Thank you.
come into this place one with another. Come into this sacred community. Do not be timid or fear what you will find here. Bring exactly who you are. Bring the sorrow that weighs your heart and bring the joy that calls you to sing. Come into this sacred community. Do not fear what you will find here. Breaking or broken, healing or whole, have faith that you will find a welcome here. Come, let us worship together. Please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to the people around you this morning.
May the light of this chalice shine out, revealing the sacred that is in everything. Would you please stand in body or spirit as you're willing and able and join me in our first hymn, number 23, Bring Many Names. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. I think we're on our second spring now. At LCUUC, we strive to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Paul Fackler, and I'm the worship representative for this morning's service. We are a welcoming congregation. We welcome you and what you bring to this community. Whether you have found the sacred outside in the natural sandstone arches of Arches National Park in Utah, or under the golden arches of your local McDonald's, or felt it for a moment inside you in a tiny elevator climbing to the top of the St. Louis Arch, or even if you've abandoned any idea of the sacred and celebrate the ordinary, something as simple as our own 2 feet, flat or arched, we welcome you. No matter who you love or which pronouns you use to describe yourself, you are welcome here. We hope that all visitors, wherever they are on life's journey and wherever, whatever their backgrounds, will find a lasting home here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service, and while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Be sure to take a closer look at today's order of service, which includes announcements of upcoming church activities. We look forward to all of our visitors, friends, and members joining in. Please take a moment at this time to unplug yourself from the central nervous system of our personal and mass communication systems, silencing any electronics that you may be keeping with you this morning. And again, welcome to all here this morning. We are pleased that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us today.
One of the ways that we try to do good in the greater community is by contributing to local food pantries, primarily financially, but also through the collection of non-perishable food items, which we donate each month. If you have food items to share, please bring them forward at this point in service, or ask a child to bring them forward for you, and I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story. Well, good morning, everybody. The story this morning is called The Pocket Snakes, and it is by a guy named Grandpa Tucker. Sammy Snake and his Viper brothers, Billy Boa, and some others were hanging around telling jokes about those dumb old human folks. Those crazy guys all hiss so bad, and the way they crawl, it makes me sad. They have lumpy bodies full of joints, their teeth are short, and they have no points. It's hard to believe, but once or twice, I've seen a human run from mice. I saw one try to swim today. He just jumped in and splashed away. Then Sammy said, "Those guys are silly. They stumble around all willy-nilly, and though each one acts like a fool, those pockets they wear sure are cool. All creatures like to save their stuff, but for us snakes, it's pretty tough. I find it very sad and strange that we have no place for our change." Then old Vic Viper raised his head and gave a hiss, and then he said, "Well, if men and women can build a safe moon rocket, why can't we snakes figure out a pocket?" So then the figuring began, and soon they had a pocket plan. They cut shed skin into small squares and stitched them back together with hairs. And around their backs they'd make, just so, a thin band lined with thick Velcro. Across it they would lay the skin, and the hair would dig right in. The pocket looked just right on the band. It felt so good and looked so grand. And each one was placed just high enough their tails could reach in for their stuff. Then Sammy's mother said, "My son, this is a smart thing you've done. For when you guys go out and try 'em, a lot of snakes will want to buy 'em." Soon all the snakes would sit and sigh as these pocket snakes went strutting by, with pockets filled and cocky smiles, while other snakes just left their stuff in piles. Across Snakeville they heard the cries, "Hey, we want pockets like you guys." So Sammy gathered more shed skin, and the pocket snakes began again. Sammy's mom was right, for goodness sakes, their pockets sold like cupcakes. They just kept making more and more and opened up a pocket store. Now you might see some snakes crawl by and flashy pockets grab your eye. These snakes no longer grunt and sag while dragging around an awkward bag. So snakes all tell this pocket story. Sammy's bunch receives praise and glory. They're hard at work on a little wheel. The rumor has it, it's a snake mobile. Thank you guys for listening to my story today. Would my lantern bearer please come up? Who's got the lantern there? And would you all help me sing the children to their classrooms?
Traditional hymn, Amazing Grace, with a slight twist on a few of the words. Thank you.
Two Unitarian Universalists went on a cruise and were swept overboard in a terrible storm. The sea tossed them for miles, but at last they managed to swim to a deserted desert island. And one of the men began to pace in circles, shaking his fist, and said, "There's no food here, no water, we're going to die." "No problem," said the other man. "My minister will find us." "Nobody knows where we're at," the first man said. "No one will ever find us." "My minister will find us," the second man said confidently. "What is wrong with you?" the first man said. "The storm carried us into nowhere. There's no food. Some magic isn't going to point out where we are." And the second man smiled and said, "I make $100,000 a month. And I put $3,000 of it in the offering plate each week. Trust me, my minister will find us." The morning offering will now be given and received, and know that you will never need to fear being lost. Our thanks for these gifts given and received for the life and work of this community. This is the time in our service where we share our joys and our concerns. And we do this in two ways, by speaking them aloud and by lighting candles. Would anyone who has a joy or concern to share please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
For whatever's going on in the back room. My name's Sue. We're entering birthday season, so 17 years ago today, we had a beautiful baby girl who is now in a semi-comatose state in the youth room after a wonderful youth con. And in a few more days, we'll celebrate the birthday for Eric.
I'm Janice, and a candle of concern for our nephew, Ryan. He's 13, he's had a hard life, and half of it in Children's Hospital, and I think he's at the end of his life there right now.
Hi, my name is Claire. Prayer
prayer and continued support from my brother, my sister-in-law, although she's progressing nicely, and it's been really great that she's doing so well, considering the injuries she sustained during her fall. I just can't imagine what's going through his mind these last few weeks.
This wonderful bringing, coming together of all of us on this rather dark and gloomy day, even though it does almost feel like spring.
This is Kristen. I'm glad on that Candle of Joy. I got to be one of the chaperones on that youth camp. Just got back a few minutes ago from Rockford, and it's the third time I've gone, and every time I kind of wonder why I volunteer until I get there and get home, and I remember that. It's just so inspirational to be around these young people that have such passion for issues. We spent some time talking about immigration, and just also the gratitude for an environment where they can come together with other UU youth around the Midwest and just feel such acceptance and bonding with people beyond our small church here.
Out there for the deer who are in rutting season or already picked up a 12-point buck on the radiator. So they're out there.
I'd like to light a candle of concern for my family. My cousin Michael died suddenly this past week, and my family is needing a lot of being held in light right now. Any others?
When I'm at a funeral or a wedding, I always love the sounds of a baby, and I give thanks for the sounds of a baby today.
And we light the last candle today for all those joys and sorrows which we hold deeply, but which we have not named. Jim or Diane, could I have one of the handhelds, please? Today is a joyous day, as one of the wonderful things we get to do today is celebrate a baby blessing. Would the Keepman family please join me up at the basin? A child comes forth to stand with stardust in his hair, the rush of planets in his blood, his heart beating out the seasons of eternity, and with a shining in his eyes like sunlight. In the ancient tradition of all human society, we come together to welcome and recognize with sacred words the great and persistent mystery of ongoing human life. Katie and Adam, as the parents, you have the greatest task. For this child is specially committed to your love and care. You must hold him in your love and in love let him go when he is ready. You must teach him the way of the world and then free him to learn for himself. You must give him roots so that he can grow tall and strong, and give him wings so that he can soar beyond us all. Do you, the parents of this child, solemnly promise that to the best of your ability, you will instruct and train him to live rightly as you see it, that you will offer by your own actions and words a model of living that includes the love of learning, the spirit of cooperation, honor and respect for life, and that you will encourage him to be fearless, impartial, and a reverent seeker after truth, beauty, and goodness. If so, simply say, we do. Maggie, you now have a special and wonderful position. You are a big sister, and that's an important and exciting thing to be. Do you think you can try to be the very best big sister? That's pretty good. By what name have you blessed this baby? Theodore Keatman, Theo. By this name you will be called, and to this name you will respond. May you wear your name in honor and peace and courage, that many will look upon it and find it blessed. Theo, we welcome you in love into the fellowship of all souls and all religions, and we dedicate you to a life of love and service. We touch you with a flower, a symbol of life's beauty, and with water, a symbol of the purity and innocence in which your life began. On your brow and your lips, to dedicate your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. May you serve with all your mind and soul the ideals of truth and beauty, strength and nobility of purpose, as your life unfolds in the future, and may you receive abundantly the blessings of health, love, knowledge, and wisdom. May this child have a healthy body with strength to stand against all that threaten. May he have courage and skill to do what is required and whatever he most desires to do. May he have intelligence to learn what he needs to know and power to pursue the truth he values. May he be forever fierce and always tender. May he know the music and rhythm of nature and drama and poetry of the creation of humanity. Above all, may he know the companionship of good friends and the meaning of generosity and compassion, the love of many, and the love of one above all others. May the light of his life be a beacon of love for all that he touches. Remembering that those who come after us must inherit their world from us, we dedicate ourselves to our part in building a kinder, more just, and happier human order. We dedicate our minds and hearts to the spirit of this child and all children who will inherit our world. May I present to you all Theodore Benjamin Keatman. Please join me in a round of applause to welcome him to the world.
Want people to know that there is a tornado warning for Waukesha. I'm watching it on my phone, but I want to take this opportunity. I'm on the security committee or something. I don't know what our title is. But The safest part of our building, so you're aware, is toward the middle, away from windows. What we decided when we did a review with the county emergency management is this hallway, out this door, toward the middle, sort of beyond the outside door, toward the middle, toward the social hall is where we should gather, or in toward the kitchen and the bathrooms. So if it develops, we will, in an orderly fashion, move that direction. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. As we prepare to enter into a reflective moment, I'd like to share a poem by T.S. Eliot. I said to my soul, be still and wait without hope, for hope would be hope for the wrong thing. And wait without love, for love would be love of the wrong thing. Yet there is faith. But the faith and the hope and the love are all in the waiting. And the darkness shall be light, and the stillness dancing. Please join me in a few moments of silent thought, meditation, or prayer.
The reading for today is Wage Peace by Judith Hill. Wage peace with your breath. Breathe in firemen and rubble. Breathe out whole buildings and flocks of red-winged blackbirds. Breathe in terrorists and breathe out sleeping children and freshly mown fields. Breathe in confusion and breathe out maple trees. Breathe in the fallen and breathe out lifelong friendship intact. Wage peace with your listening, hearing sirens, pray loud. Remember your tools, flower seeds, clothespins, clean rivers. Make soup, play music, learn the word for thank you in three languages. Learn to knit and make a hat. Think of chaos as dancing raspberries. Imagine grief as the outbreath of beauty or the gesture of a fish. Swim for the other side. Wage peace. Never has the world seemed so fresh and precious. Have a cup of tea and rejoice. Act as if armistice has already arrived. Don't wait another minute. Here ends the reading. Please stand in body or spirit and join in the singing of hymn number 352, Find a Stillness.
Thank you.
Come to church for different reasons: community, personal growth, transformation, worship, escape from tornadoes, and 1,000 more. And each one of these reasons is sacred, deserving of veneration, religious. But for some of us, words like sacred and holy, faith and divinity, are difficult or uncomfortable to use. We want to choose words which express the depth and immensity of our convictions, but historically, over the last few decades, we have struggled with vocabulary that seems to belong almost exclusively to Christianity. It's time to take those words back, because they are our words too. Attend any Unitarian Universalist church and you are going to see faith. Don't believe me? We've got tapestry of faith, toolbox of faith, faith like a river, faith without borders, adult faith development, our free faith, our living faith. All we need is Faith Hill, and we'd have the complete set. The word is all around us, and some of its meanings we can pretty much agree on. Faith can be a synonym for religion, the Catholic faith or the Quaker faith, or simply a strongly held belief. So I had faith I would pass McDonald's on my way to Chicago. We don't seem to have a problem with these uses. And UU writers across the country refer to our free faith or our living faith when they mean Unitarian Universalism. But faith can mean so much more. And because of that, some of us simply avoid it rather than define it and claim it for ourselves with all of its power and all of its potential to be misunderstood. In 2003, then president of the UUA, William Sinkford, called to Unitarian Universalists to be unafraid to reclaim a vocabulary of reverence. He was supported in this by past president Bill Schultz, a humanist who said he would like us to feel free to use a wide lexicon of religious language, and that he had long been critical of the position of some humanists that would sanctify only secular language and lock us into a calcified rationalism. Wow, these were fighting words, at least to some people. The controversy this caused has been wide and deep and is still running to this day. In August of 2012, a book called Fluent in Faith, A UU Embrace of Religious Language, was released by Skinner House. It was written by Minister Jean Harrison, I'm going to mispronounce this, Nuajar. Fluent in Faith continues that conversation. It calls us to embrace our religious language with all of its diversity and all of its range of meaning. She sets forth a vision where, as articulate people, we can confidently and gracefully express our faith and our beliefs using any language we choose. But what do we mean when we use the word faith? Khalil Gibran said that faith is a knowledge within the heart, beyond the reach of proof. And the Christian Saint Augustine agreed, saying, faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of the faith is to see what you believe. The Christian Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. This idea of faith as a belief which is not founded on the observable, rational proof before us is the one which causes some issues. But we are going to look at it in a slightly different context, because there are times when we should be able to reclaim the simple power of saying, because I have faith. There are times, of course, when belief isn't the issue. Minister Ann Fox in Fairhaven tells the following story. She said a temporary secretary at a UU congregation, a devout Baptist, was struggling to open the combination lock on the supply cabinet. She had been told the combination but couldn't remember it, and she asked the pastor for help. And he started to turn the dial, and after two numbers he paused, stared blankly, and finally he looked serenely heavenward, his lips moving in silent supplication. Then he looked back at the lock and turned the final number and opened it. Secretary said, "Wow, I am in awe of your simple faith." He said, "Actually, it's nothing. I wrote the combination on a piece of tape and stuck it on the ceiling after the last time I forgot." Not everyone is as honest as this pastor. Some claim faith when they have sure and certain knowledge of an outcome. Others claim faith when they simply mean all proof is against my belief and I cannot justify it. A year or so ago, a group of entirely UU seminarians came to Kentucky to visit the Creation Museum. They were respectful, even fascinated, as they looked at exhibits that claimed that the earth was 6,000 years old. Others depicted a literal snake in a literal Garden of Eden and explained Adam and Eve as actual parents who had birthed the entirety of humanity. The group did well until they reached a dinosaur wearing a saddle. When two of them, originally from Washington, D.C., attempted to take pictures of this exhibit, as they had done openly throughout the museum, they were told they were not allowed. After a few minutes of patient and respectful questioning about why this exhibit was special, one of the young guards was finally completely honest. "It's not about faith," he said. "We just don't want it out on the internet. People keep saying mean stuff." When belief is blind, when it flies in the face of all that is currently scientifically and rationally believed, it leads to a place where there can be no rational dialogue, not even with a respectful audience. Faith can simply become another word for a non-defensible position. So for us, what do we mean when we say faith? Of what possible use is that word? Faith is even more than the substance of things hoped for. It is that which we dare to believe can be true. Where is your faith? What do you dream and love and call into being? What exists because you have faith? Think about that for a minute. Not what do I believe without proof, but what do I dare to believe can be true? The second piece of that sentence carries heavy implications. It says, I believe in a thing which can be true, but it will take more than some belief to get there. It says, I am willing to act on my belief. Faith has two components, the belief and the work required to both support that belief and to call it into being. Faith without action is blind. When people ask us, what do you use believe, a lot of the time, what they are really asking is, in what do you have faith? We tend to give answers they don't get very well. We say things about the seven principles, or we tell them we believe in the search for truth and meaning. This usually doesn't answer the question in the way they wanted it answered, but expressing our own faith can be tricky. We are hesitant to say something that might make the other person feel as if we disagree with them. We may feel arrogant or egotistical saying, "I have faith in my own meaningful beliefs, in my deepest experiential learnings, in my vision of the world and the ultimate reality." The transcendentalists, among them Ralph Waldo Emerson, Thoreau, Margaret Fuller, Louisa May Alcott, Channing, Whitman, Theodore Parker, felt that the only true religious experience comes from intuition, from personal experience of the deep and spiritual reality of humanity and nature. As our forebears, they call us to claim the meaningfulness of our own life experience, to own the power of our personal beliefs. But how do we articulate and deepen our own personal faith? How do we reach a point where our answer to the question, "Why did you do that?" becomes, "Because my faith called me to it." Faith doesn't require a belief system. It isn't necessarily connected to a deity or a god. It unfolds as we learn to trust our own deepest experiences. Faith is that which we dare to believe can be true. It is what we dream and love and call into being. These are challenging definitions. Many of us grew up in religious traditions which said that faith had to have an external source, usually God. Faith was unquestioning acceptance of God's word or God's teaching, a belief in wisdom provided by an unquestionably correct outside source. For some of us, learning to have that same sacred faith in our own knowing, our own experience, our own beliefs, can be frightening at an unbelievably visceral level. We may be fine with our own education and levels of understanding, but standing boldly and saying, "I have faith that I understand something of the nature of reality, and I am called to behave in a certain way because of my understanding alone," kind of scary. Can be kind of heavy stuff. We are all on our own journey. None of us have the right answers, but each of us have answers that work for us today. Answers based on our own understanding of the universe and our place in it. Answers that form our faith. It begins as we call ourselves to answer questions about the nature of the universe, as we make sense for ourselves of our experiences. It deepens as we flesh out our understandings. And there's no set list of things you can ask yourself to determine where your faith rests. But here are seven questions that may help you to decide the overall shape of your belief. First one's a big one. What is the nature of that beyond which we cannot conceive? And how are we called to interact with it? A god? A goddess, human nature. The list could be endless, but it is where your faith begins. Answering this question roots you in your universe and helps you to decide how to understand your personal experience. The weight of the question is in your realization that you have chosen to dare to believe it to be true. Atheist, deist, humanist, pantheist, doesn't matter. Your theology becomes the root of your faith. I believe what I believe. The next question is another good one. What is the nature of humanity? Are humans essentially just? Are we kind unless we are taught otherwise? Are we naturally moral, or is morality imposed? Your interactions with others are colored by this question every day. I believe and I act. The third question is about behavior. How am I called to behave in the world so as to have the fewest possible regrets and be free from the weight of wrongdoing? Once you have made decisions about what you dare to create and claim as the ultimate and the nature of humanity, you can decide, what does that mean for my actions in the world? Do I work for social justice? Do I stand as a witness? Do I speak with a prophetic voice? Do I care for others as a ministry? Create art, write books. I believe and I behave. The fourth question is about endings. What is required at the end of life? How do I end well? What is a good death? When you have begun to shape answers to those first questions, this one begins to shape itself. Your faith and your culture lead you to a sociology of endings. The fifth question is straightforward. How do I believe that I gain understanding and information about the first four questions? How do I know the world? Do I study? Is it experiential? What is my faith around meaning and understanding? The sixth question asks, what is the purpose of church for me? What is the meaning of faith community? And the final is about relationship. What is the nature of the relationship between all of it? What is our call to action in the world? What is the connection between freedom and respect and justice? Given all my other answers, how do I live my life to honor myself, my version of the ultimate, and the rest of the universe? What full form does my faith take? Claim your own faith boldly, no matter what you believe or why you believe it. Claim both the belief and the actions that that belief requires. Take back the power of sacred language. You have the absolute right to use it. You have earned it because you have faith. Amen.
Extinguish the flame of this chalice, and we know that the light of truth and love, the warmth of this community, go with us until we meet again. Please stand in body or spirit and join in singing hymn number 208, Every Time I Feel the Spirit Move. Thank you.
seeing the shape of your faith today, go and take it with you into the world. If you have felt comfort or smelled the gentle lavender of peace, go and take it with you into the world. If you have heard a message of welcome and tasted the cool wine of acceptance, go and take it with you into the world. Peace, and may it be so.
Thank you.